Thank the Lord for being here tonight, and we just have an inspiration, I believe, that can encourage us all. I've been thinking about our covenant with God, and first we want to read some scriptures about his covenant he made with us. And you know, the Lord loves us so much, and we know that, and we know that he died on the cross that we could be saved. And he also made a covenant, and a covenant is a binding promise in a relationship. It's a lot like the relationship of man and wife, where they make a covenant. And I think about the wedding song that says, I give you my heart, I give you my unending love. And, you know, they make vows to one another. And I believe there's two sides of this covenant. It's not only a covenant that God makes with us, but we make a covenant with him. We make promise to him that we'll be faithful, that we'll be what God wants us to be. So I'd like to start reading in Jeremiah 31. And it says in the 33rd verse, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no man, every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. What a wonderful blessing that God gave us that covenant. There was five parts of this. I want to kind of go over it. That when God made this covenant, it says, I will be their God. It said, this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God. I was thinking about the promise that he said he will be our God individually. Remember, as we read on farther, it says, we don't have to tell each other, I know the Lord, so I'm just going to teach you everything about the Lord. But each one of us know the Lord. Each one of us have a relationship with God. And that makes the unity of the church of God. But each one of us know the Lord. Each one of us pray, and we read our word, and we know God, and we walk with God, and we each have a covenant with God. And as we grow in that love for God and increases, then when we meet together, that love, that unity, the Spirit of God comes together, and it makes the church of God. And so it says, I will be their God. They shall know me. What a wonderful thing to know God. Not just have a profession, not just to say, oh, I know God. There's a lot of people in the world in sectism, religion, just say, I know God, and I pray to God. But it takes more than that. We have to live a holy life. We have to be born again. We have to say, Lord, not just I accept you as my Savior, but whether he accepts us. And we have to submit to him, and we have to really be born again. Like Nicodemus, when he came to him by night, and he said, how can these things be that a man is born again? And he said, you know, you're looking at it the wrong way. You know, you don't go into a mother's womb again. That's not it. But you're born of the Spirit. You're born again. You ask Jesus to come into your heart, and his blood is applied, and you're born again, and you're safe from sin, and you quit sinning. There's no more sinning in your life. When you're born again, the sin stops. That's the covenant we make. That's the promise we make. Lord, I don't want sin. I don't want sin in my life anymore. I am yours forever. And then later on, when you find out there's that inward carnality there that needs to be purged out, and maybe you don't recognize it at first, but after you're saved for a while, you recognize that there's something that's fighting against me, and I need more of God. And you go to him, and I'm trying to make this as understandable and easy, and you ask, Lord, purge that out of me. I want the Holy Spirit in my life. And the Holy Spirit will not go into an unclean vessel, but the Holy Spirit goes into a person that has salvation only. Does not go into someone that's sinning. The Holy Spirit will not dwell there, but the Holy Spirit goes into someone that is born again, and he purges that carnality out of us. It's not that we'll never be tempted anymore, but we do not have the same spirit anymore. We're saved and sanctified. And then God can really work with us when we have the Holy Spirit. He can work with us as a group, as individually, and he works with us. They shall know me. I think what a wonderful thing is to know the Lord, to really know him as your personal Savior. There's songs like that that I have a personal Savior. But to know God is a wonderful thing, to know him, to be able to pray to him. And he's not like a guard that's afar off, but a God that's very near to us. So we go to prayer and we feel him. It's that we live and we move and we have our being because of God. I think it was mentioned tonight that, you know, yes, someday this life will be over, but while we're alive, we know God. And he'll be with us all the way. All the way to the very end. And then we have the hope of eternal life. So it's just a win-win situation, right? That we live for him and we know him. And then when this life, this brief life is over, that we have an eternal life. But the main thing is that we must know that we have a side of this covenant. It's not just all God's promises. We must make a promise to God to be faithful. We must do his will, whatever it is. We must submit to him. And if you know, when you know somebody, you know how to get the instruction from that person. And you're willing to listen to that person when you really know someone. You know, I think sometimes some of your greatest friends are people that you don't really know very well at first. And you kind of think, I don't know if I never could get close to that person. And you find out later that they're one of your closest friends. Because when you get to really know them, you love them so much. And that's the way a lot of people in the world, they really don't know God. They know of God, but they really don't know him as a personal friend. There's a difference of knowing someone and really knowing them. You know what I'm trying to say? Spending time with them, communicating with them, being with them. It's like a lot like a marriage. You get married and it's one of the closest relationships that you'll ever have on earth. And you know, one of the closest relationships you have on earth is with God. Is one of the closest. He likens unto us as the bride of Christ. We're his bride. And he's coming after his bride someday. And he wants us to keep our covenant with him. I'm so glad that we can know the Lord. And the Lord said, I will be merciful to them and I will forgive them. What a great thing that God Almighty is merciful to us and forgives us of our sin. Isn't that wonderful? You know, a lot of times people feel so bad. We should feel bad. When we think about our past, we remember some of the things and way back when maybe, but we're ashamed of it. But, you know, we don't have to worry about that anymore because God's forgiven us, right? And then it says, I will remember them no more. I'm merciful. I forgive their sins and their sins and iniquities. I will remember no more. So, you know, we don't have to keep making ourselves feel bad of something that happened years ago, because God he's forgiven you, and he remembers it no more. Even though our human part, we can remember that, but we don't need to remember it no more. We can ask God to get it out of our mind, because you know what? I'm not that person anymore. I am saved. I'm sanctified. I belong to God, and you can be encouraged. You know, the devil is accuser of the brethren. He wants to bring up your past. He wants to make you feel bad about it. But God said, I will remember the sins no more. And you know what? We don't have to worry about that. We are saved. We're sanctified. We're bought with a price. We're God's children. And we can be encouraged. And the Lord wants us to be encouraged. He wants us to be happy. And I know that's the things there is in this world to be sad about. But you know what? We can turn the temperature up. We can be happy about some things and positive about some things. You know, the enemy wants to come in like a flood and try to make us feel bad, but the Lord wants to lift us up. That's why we come to service, to lift our spirits up, to lift ourselves up in Christ in heavenly places. We sit in heavenly places, and the Lord wants to encourage us, but he wants us to keep this covenant. Oh, I think it's wonderful. They shall be my people. And I thank the Lord tonight for that. I want to read a little bit over in Hebrews 8 and 10. You know, if we could get over to the world. I know here, you know, we're the children of the Lord and we are saints. And so we know the Lord and we know what it's like. But if we could just get that love to people about God's love and his covenant and that, And that if we make a covenant with God, it means something. It means something to make a promise. You know, people take too lightly promises they make. But, you know, God wants us to be very serious about our soul and what promises we make to God. And if we make a mistake, ask God to forgive us and go on. But we want to make sure that we are keeping our covenant with the Lord, that we're being faithful to Him always, every place we're in, wherever we're at, that we're keeping our covenant with God. Because God is looking all the time. His watchful eye is over us. We don't have to be accused, but we also must be faithful. Must be faithful to the Lord. In Hebrews 8 and 10, it said, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind." You know, your mind is something very special that God gave us. A mind can go back and remember good memories of someone maybe that you lost or someone that you love so much. And your mind can go back and remember those memories, and that's a blessing, isn't it? And if we use the mind in the right way, the mind can record scriptures and remember scriptures. The mind can remember songs, and the Holy Spirit brings back songs in the night. The mind is a great thing that God has given us. To be holy. It says bring about every thought into the submissiveness of Christ. Bringing down, casting down imaginations. And every thought, bring it into the obedience of Christ. So that's the way, you know, the enemy tries to come to work with our mind. But we need to take our mind and ask the Lord to help us to be holy and pure and godly in our mind. And God can do that. And he said he will put His law into our mind. You know, it's when God gets a hold of your mind, it's just like when you get married to someone and you love them so much, they get in your mind. You know, when you're away from them, you think about them, don't you? Because you love them. And you love your children, and they're in your mind. Even when they're away from you, you love them, right? And you keep them in your mind. That's the way God is with us. We're His children. And we're on His mind. And He wants us to have the same covenant with Him that He is in our mind. Always. I want my word to be in their mind. You know, you can, if you win somebody's mind, you win their love. If you really win their mind. That, you know, God says, I want to put their mind. I want to put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And we know that a heart is a physical beating in our chest that keeps us alive, but the heart is the center of our affections and our love. And you know, we use the word heart so many times because heart is life. If the heart quits, our life is over. But He is the center of our life, the heart. He wants to write His law into our mind, in our hearts. He wants to consume us with this covenant that will never leave Him. That's why He wants to do that. When you win your husband, your wife, you know, that's what you want. You want them to be in their mind and their heart and love you so much that they'll never leave you. They'll always be with you. That covenant is so strong. And that's what God wants. He wants us to love Him. He gave us this covenant because He wants us to have a covenant back to Him. Back to Him. He wants both ways. And so it says here, this is the God, I will put my laws into their mind, write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Isn't that wonderful? He will be our God, and we will be His people. And it says, and they shall not teach every man and his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. You know, we are teaching to know the Lord, but it's big, it's stronger than that. Each one of us know the Lord. For they shall all know me. They shall all know the Lord, from the least to the greatest. They all know the Lord. They all know how to pray. They all know how to read their word. They all listen to God. They all have a covenant with God. That's what God wants. Every one of us. And then when we get together, that love should just be flowing because we all love the same God and we're his people. And he wants that to increase. And they know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more. No more. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord. You know, I think the scripture over here, I might not just turn to all this. I have a lot. But St. John 12 and 26 says, I'll go ahead and turn to it. St. John 12 and 26. It says here, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Oh, I read that and I thought, what a wonderful thing for God to honor you. Just think of it. Why would God honor you or listen to your prayers? Because if any man serve me, let him follow me. We can say we serve Christ, but do we have a covenant with him? Are we following him? Because if we follow him, God will honor us. Not if we just want to be honored, but he will. He'll honor, he'll hear our prayers. He'll work things out for us. He'll lead us. He'll guide us. He promised these things. That's what the scripture said. Our devotion must be God's way, not our way. All of our devotion must be God's way. Sometimes we have our way. We have our own things, our own interests. We think we want to do this or that. But God comes and talks to us in a still small voice, and he says, this is the way. What's the scripture in Isaiah? I believe it says, you'll hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk ye in it. When you're tempted or turned to the right or the left, the Lord will lead you right to the right way. Because you know him, and he knows you, and he loves you. That's what God does. And it said, all these things that God will do for us, praise God. I was thinking about love. I heard sometimes when people say they first fall in love, or it sounds kind of strange in a way, falling in love, falling, or they say it was love at first sight. And marriage, I'm talking about so much, but girlfriend, boyfriend. But you know, does love grow? You might say there's love at first sight, but don't you think that love grows as time goes on? That your love deepens? And same with Christ. The song says, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And why is that? Because you see all the times he's answered your prayers. Most of all, he saved your soul from sin, and then he gives you the sweet Holy Spirit to work with and help you out and answer your prayers, and heals your body, and he does so many miracles in your life, and miracles for others that you prayed for, and different things that just builds up your faith. And you just love him more and more. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows because the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. So, you know, love can grow. Love can get stronger. And so that's what God wants. He wants your covenant not to get weak, but he wants that covenant with God to get stronger. Stronger. Until the very end, always stronger. The Lord wants us to be faithful to the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make. Praise God. Oh, the Lord wants to make a strong covenant with us. I think about that song that says, when my Savior talks with me. It's in our book, towards the back of the book. When my Savior talks with me, life on earth, it seems like heaven. When my Savior talks with me. Isn't it wonderful when God talks to you? And you know, I found out with God, sometimes it's not in a really big, loud voice, but it's a still, small voice that he comes to us and he talks to us. And sometimes I hate to say this, I'm sorry that I've missed it, that he would talk to me in a still, small voice, and I didn't do it right away. And then I found out later that was God leading me. I should have done that. And then there's sometimes I have that still, small voice, and I drop everything and I obey it. And then I find out God was God's voice. He was telling me to do that. And so we need to listen to that still small voice. And when he tells us to do something, be willing to do it right then. And sometimes he'll call us for prayer. You know what I'm trying to say? We get down and we pray, but there's sometimes God will nudge us stronger. Like you need to just drop everything you're doing and go pray. And, you know, we need to listen to that still small voice and go do that. And many times when you do that, the Spirit will just bless you and maybe the tears come. And I'm not saying that you always have to cry for God to hear your prayers, but, you know, there's something about breaking up your fallow ground and really crying out to the Lord that you feel his presence so strong. And it's a wonderful thing. And so the Lord draws us. He's, you know, the song that says, draw me close to thee. He wants to draw us close to, he wants us to be obedient. You know, part of this covenant is the Ten Commandments, but even more than that, but the Lord wants us to obey the commandments. And the first great commandment, what was it? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, all thy mind. Love him like that. Love him like that. Love God like that. And even sometimes speak it out loud. Maybe you're around the house, or maybe you're driving the car or truck or whatever. Speak it out loud. Lord, I love you. I love you. You know, going back, they like to hear that. I love you. You know, you can say, well, they know I love them, but to just say it. And sometimes we need to say it one to another. I love you, appreciate you. You know, that's a good thing. But God wants to hear that. He wants us to walk with him every day. He wants to hear us say, I love you, God. And you know what? He knows if it's true or not. He knows if it's true. He put people to the test in the Bible, didn't he, to see if they really loved him. And Abraham, when he told him to take Isaac and offer him on the altar, and that's a strange story to us in some way, because we wouldn't think that we were supposed to offer our child on the altar. But, you know, God was just testing him. And God, when he seen, because he knew he loved Isaac a lot. And when he was willing to do that, he said, no, no, there's a ram in the bush. He said, now I know that you really love me. You know, do you think that God might put us to a test sometimes to see if we really love him? God wants us to love him. Lord, help us increase our love for you. You've been so good to us, God. You've been so good. I mean, who could ever save our soul? Only God. He's the only one that can save us. He's the only one that could give us the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that could give us light on the Church of God. It's not just a small thing that we understand the Scriptures right and correct. That's not a small thing. That is the light of God that he put in our hearts and our minds and helped us. Otherwise, we could be out there in sectism ourselves. But God has given us light of the Church of God. That's not a small thing. And only God could do that. Only our great Creator could do that for us. We want to love him like that. Just love him so much. All reformation begins in the heart. We can't reform like God wants us to be, except it gets right down into our heart. We have to be willing to obey him from the heart. A heart worship. You know, right in the seat of your very being, that you really, really love God, that it all starts in the heart. The outward appearance is important, things that we teach, but it starts in the heart. Because if you get someone's heart, you've got them forever. And God knows that. He knows if he can win your heart, he's got you forever. So he works on your heart. He works on your affections. He wants to draw you close to him. And then when the tempter comes, it's not so much. When he comes, we just think, well, I don't want to do that because I love the Lord. I don't want to do that. I don't want to displease the Lord. And what is this silly temptation anyway? It's just of the world. It's the pride of life. It's the not of the Father, but it's of the world. And you can recognize it right away. And you say, no, no, I want the Lord. I want all the Lord. And he wants you to be like that. He wants that covenant be so strong. Praise God. I was thinking about, and also about the heart. You know, there's only one. God only can change the heart. You can maybe want someone to get saved. You can work with them. You can try to help them. But until God changes that heart, and gets, God is only one that can change and reform a heart. But when he does it, it'll last forever. It'll be something, you know, if you measure up just because somebody else is doing it, it won't last. But when God talks to you, when he says, not compare ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. Measuring ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. But when God tells us to quit something, it lasts forever. You know how you don't really even have a temptation with it anymore because God told me. I didn't do it because someone told me to do it, but I did it because God told me. And God does use preachers and ministers and teachers to convict us through the Holy Spirit, but God is the one that really has to give us that grace. I don't have the grace for you, but God does. I didn't die for you, but Jesus Christ did. The blood of Jesus can save your soul. And he's the only one that can give you the Holy Spirit, lead you there. We can teach it, but God is the only one that can reform our hearts. And he can do a great change. He's so good. He's just so wonderful. God could give us the power to live a holy life. And not only does he, we do it. And we live free from sin because of the blood of Christ. Praise God. I think about two things that Paul wrote. 2 Timothy, he says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course and I'm ready to be offered up. You know, Paul did fight a good fight. And the Lord wants us to do that. He wants us to fight a good fight. It's 2 Timothy 4:7. But I fought a good fight. I finished my course and I'm ready to be offered up. Paul was faithful. And another part in Acts 26, I love this scripture. This is special to me. I know it's a different experience that Paul had than I had, but yet the same thing is Acts 26:19. I can say this by the grace of God. He said to King Agrippa, after he told all that happened to him and how God dealt with him, he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Do you know? I know that we do not count it a small thing to have a heavenly vision from God. We do not count it a small thing for deliverance from sin. We must never count that a small thing of having the Holy Spirit, like we said, and knowing the truth of the scriptures. And for us to be disobedient to that is not a good thing. We never want to be disobedient to that. And Paul, he said, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. By God's grace, I'm saying, not my own self, but because of God's grace, I tried to endeavor to not be disobedient to God's heavenly vision that he gave me. No matter what others thought, no matter what others thought, no matter what anyone else tried to turn me around or teach me a different way, I wanted to obey the Lord. That's what God wants us to do. Don't ever be disobedient to the heavenly vision. Keep your covenant with God. Always keep it strong. Keep faithful to him because he wants you to do. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Praise God. You know the Lord loves us tonight and he wants to help us to be what he wants us to be. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, I always have this before me. God is watching us all the time. He's with us all the time. He knows everything. And when he's our God and we want to please him, we want to always do all things to please God. There could be a secret in your life that other people don't know, but God knows it. And you want, it says, God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Sometimes we do things in secret that are very good, and other people don't know them, but God knows them. And you know, God will bless us for that. And it says here, Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. There is nothing wrong with fearing God. It can be a good thing. It's not that we fear him, that he's a hard taskmaster. He's going to destroy us. He's not. He's a God of love. Yes, he is. But yes, I do fear him. I fear him, and I don't want to be disobedient to him because I know I want to be on God's side, right? We want to be on God's side. Why? Because he is so powerful and he can do anything and he's got our breath in his hands. We want to be on his side. Always. You know, I think about, was that Elijah there that was, and he had the prophets there and he had that altar and built, put the stones in the water and all the water around it and everything. And then he called on God and God brought down the fire, licked it all up. And then later he said, who's on God's side? Come on. But you know what? God is powerful. And we want to be on the Lord's side. So fear God and keep his commandment. 2 Peter. I thank the Lord tonight. I want to keep my covenant. I feel, you know, I know that the Lord can expand this in your hearts. Because how do you really bring it out as much as I want the Lord, Holy Spirit to bring it out in your heart, in our heart, in my heart? Our covenant with God, where is it today? What kind of covenant do you have with him? Do you mean to go right on until the crown is won? That song that we sing, I'm going on, and we really should sing, unto the final judgment. Unto, not until, unto. But, you know, we want to go on for God all the way to the very end and be faithful because God has a great reward. I'm going to share something that I read just recently that happened in Missouri. Came up on my phone, but a girl was in a car accident and they couldn't get her out. It was so mangled at first, they couldn't get her out. And she said, I want everybody to pray loud, out loud, pray for me. And so a man appeared, and they said they had around 70 pictures, and they can't find this man in any of the pictures. It was like a guardian angel, but this man appeared, and he had like anointing oil. And he anointed her through the car window or something, anointed her. And then he told them, or they heard a voice that told them, just stay calm. That there's going to be some tools that you can get her out. And then right after that, another fire truck showed up or something and had the better tools and they got her out. But they're so amazed about this man. It's a mystery. They cannot find where this man came from. And, you know, God does have guardian angels over us. And he does help us out of problems. He's done that in my life. And I know that there's the guardian angels. I just know there is. And we may not always recognize them, but they're there and they're helping us. And I just thank God for that. Because you just think about a lifetime of living and all the things, car accidents, tornadoes, earthquakes, all kinds of things that we have been hurt, fall or got hurt or been exposed to, but yet God watches over us and heals of terrible diseases and all the things that God does for us. We know that we have guardian angels that watch us over us and our children. It's wonderful how God is our God and he makes a covenant with us. He helps us out, saints. He helps us out in life all the way he does. Praise God. And so it says in 2 Peter 1, and 3, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Look at all the things that God gives us in life. All the good food he gives us. All the variety. I was thinking about that one day. I'm sure there's some foods I probably haven't even tasted in life yet. I don't know. I'm sure there are. Because God has made so much varieties. So we wouldn't get, I guess, bored with eating or whatever. That he wants us to have a variety, you know. But look at all the things he does in life for us. All that pertain unto life and godliness. Roof over our head. And cars to drive. Or whatever he does for us, family and friends and all the blessings he gives us, it's innumerable the things he does for us. And it says, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And we're just thinking about God gave us promises. We need to give him some. We need to tell him that, you know, I'm making a covenant with you, God. I want to be saved till I die. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to be all what you want me to be. Give us some zeal. Give us some energy. Give us some whatever that God wants us to do. Be willing to do whatever God wants to do with your life, right? Just be willing to do that. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. See, that's what he's after. He's after us having the divine nature. So he gives us all these promises. He gives us salvation, the Holy Spirit, and it's all for our profit. It's all for our profit, that we can be holy and without blame and be righteous and godly in this present world. It's all through Christ, and all we give him all the glory, we give him all the praise. It's through the blood of Jesus and God Almighty that we have all the strength to live godly. It says, in the past, you were without strength. You were in sin, you were without strength. The devil was doing all kinds of things to you, causing you to do bad things and things that wasn't pleasing to me. You were without strength. But even then, Christ died for the ungodly to give us strength, to live a holy life, to give us courage and strength, to help us to be overcomers. Like the song says, more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can be more than a conqueror, not just a conqueror, but more than one. And God can help us to do all these things. And having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, praise God tonight. Aren't you glad that you escaped the corruption of the lust that's in this world? Oh, praise God. What's going on anyway? I tell you what's going on. It's bad spirits. It's bad spirits. And without Christ, we could be susceptible to that. But when we have Jesus in our heart and we have the Holy Spirit, the devil cannot touch us. Isn't that wonderful? We have a lot to praise God about, I tell you. And it says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you. You know, we need to read this every once in a while and study these words. If they are in us. And maybe we have all these things, but maybe the Lord wants to help us to increase in them. I've been praying the Lord would help me to increase in some of these things. Increase in it, Lord. Be what you help me to be, what you want us to be. I know we need to pray for others, and I do pray for others, but let's focus sometimes in praying for ourselves. Lord, help me, Lord. Is there anything in me that you'd like to help, you know, increase in? And the Lord will help us. And it says here, for if these things be in you and abound, God wants them to abound in you, that it may make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? Love God with all your heart. Follow him. Keep his commandments. I want to read a couple scriptures here in Revelations. Lord willing. Revelations 19. Oh, I thank the Lord tonight. I didn't have it to read to you, but in the birth of a Reformation, Brother Warner got to thinking one day about this covenant that God made, and he wanted to make a covenant with God. And so he wrote, and he said, he didn't do this just, I mean, he was very serious about it, is what I'm saying. It's not a small thing to write a promise to God. But he wrote out a promise to God, a covenant. And I don't know, just, I have it in some of my papers, but I was pretty young when I read that. And it really blessed me so much. And so I wrote out a letter to God. And I made a covenant. Now, I'm not saying for you to do that. It's just something I wanted to do. But it's what we write, it's what we live, right? That's, you know, we can write, but carry it out and be faithful to God. Keep your covenant with God. Keep it to the end. Do not let anything hinder you in this life. There's a song that says, I will not let anything hinder me. Don't let things hinder you, because the devil will try to cause things to hinder you, but do not let that hinder you. Just keep on with your covenant with God. Just keep it on. Just keep on being faithful. Keep on, because God will bless you for it. He will. It's according to his word that he promises that he will bless the righteous, and he will cause them to be fruitful, and he will cause them to be blessed. And so if you keep your covenant with the Lord, he's going to do that. Revelations 19, 7 and 8 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife hath made herself ready. That's what we're talking about tonight. The bride, make yourself ready. Keep your covenant with God. Help it to be strong. And for the marriage of the Lamb has come, his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. We think about these girls, they get married, they have this beautiful white dress, so white and linen, or beautiful, whatever, you know, material it is, beautiful white dress. But he says right there, what is this white linen, this beautiful white linen? White, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. That's what the fine linen is. It's the righteousness of saints. Righteousness. The Lord wants us to be righteous, holy, godly, pure. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And do everything to increase in that. And you're righteous. But what I'm saying is, like we read, virtue, all these things, add to your life, temperance, add to your life, virtue, add to your life, brotherly kindness, add to your life. Let this abound in you and get closer to the Lord, closer to your covenants with God. Praise God. Lord willing, I think I have one more scripture. Mark 12 and 30. Praise God tonight. I thank the Lord that he can help us. Yes. Let's read the 29th verse. Again, I quoted it, but Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. A-L-L. All. Don't let one speck be wrong. Not even one speck be wrong. I know a song for a while back among the saints, they used to sing that song, is there a room in my heart that only I go, or something. I don't want no one else to see that part of my heart. But you know, God wants all your heart to be righteous. It says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Does it take some strength sometime to stand up for God, to be faithful? Yes, it does. It takes some strength. But God can give us that strength. He can help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He can help us to be that. The enemy would come along and say, oh, you just can't do it. You just can't do it. You don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to that. That's one thing my mother taught me when I was a little girl that really stuck with me. Because I had a habit of saying, I can't do it, Mom, because I didn't want to do it. So I just said, I can't. And she said, stop saying that word, can't, Marsha. I'm not going to let you say that word. She said, you can do anything. And okay. Well, I could do it. I just didn't want to do it. But she did not let me say that word, I can't. So be careful about saying you can't do things. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Which strengthens you. He wants us to be strong.